greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for all that you allow us, Father, to go through. Lord, we thank you that you know what's best for us, Father. Help us be faithful to you again. Help us bring glory to you and honor you. Help us to strive to be like you. Father, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, give us wisdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to... We'll start in Matthew chapter 9. Chapter 9, we'll probably just read 11, or 13, we'll start here in 13. Well, we'll start in 11. Just want to, kind of, it's been a kind of a little bit difficult of a week for me. It was 5 years ago. This week that we lost Hunter. And I just want to remember that. Some of you younger ones are probably don't even remember him or barely even know. But just reminded of that again this week. So I just praise the Lord. I don't understand, but talking of patience, sometimes we don't know what we go through, but I do know that the Lord has a purpose for all of it. I want to commit that to the Lord and to His well-being and His goodness, mercy. The Lord is trying this verse that we're going to read here. And what I want to talk about this morning is the character of God and being like Him. You know, sometimes we look at, or just reading in Hebrews this morning about those that went through the faith and what all they had gone through. And then we think about the things that upset us, or some things that get us sidetracked. And there's just really no comparison. Sometimes some of the little things that really, really set us off track or mess us up. And I just want to remind ourselves that our goal is to be like God. And there used to be a saying that the really hard and difficult times are the anvil and the hammer that forge us into what God wants us to be. You know, we all want good times. We want easy. We want our place paid for. We want all everything just so-so. You know, I've said it before, we don't learn by winning. We learn when we lose. We grow. We don't grow by winning all the time. We grow when we lose. You know, it's, we live in a time, you know, where some of us know nothing about losing. Just everything we do, you know, we might have a little setback here or there, but basically our lives are just surrounded by winning, you know, just having a little difficulty or something like that. But it's that real character is formed whenever we have hard times, and we strive so often just to avoid those hard times. But the things that we go through, my grandma used to say, Grandma Madge used to say, whatever doesn't kill you will make you stronger. And you know, like I said, we don't like those things, but that's what builds character. And that's what builds principle. And what I, my thought was this morning, you know, talking about, you know, there's a difference. We sang Standing on the Promises. Standing. You know, there's some people stand because they're just plain old hard-headed and they don't change at all. But being able to stand with character, being able to stand over principles is what we're shooting for. And being able to maintain the principles, the things that Jesus taught, without just being hard-headed in religion. And that, you know, they may look the same, but it's that character that pushes us through because of proper principles. I mean, there's people that just push through because they're hard-headed. And God help us that our character and our principles is what guides us through instead of just being hard-headed. And, you know, that's, I think that's what happens with religion. We just get set in our ways and we get our principles kind of don't guide us. It's just the way it's supposed to be, and so we just get hard-headed. And that's revealed by how we deal with others. And that's what this is talking about. Verse 11 says, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard this, he said, it's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. You know, like I said, whenever we see, whenever we're winning, everything's going well with us, we look really good. Yeah, everybody's a friend, you know. But whenever things fall in on us and things don't look very good, a lot of times those friends are gone and we find ourselves all by ourselves, and most people standing around looking, well, he should have done this, he should have done that. The critical comes out. And that's, you know, that's where, that's what Jesus was talking about here, about it's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. And our physician, of course, is Christ. You know, and it's not a matter of, you know, the person who looks like he's got it all together. They don't need a physician. We don't need Jesus whenever everything's perfect. We need him whenever we're sick. And, you know, it's those people that need him, that lean on him, that maybe don't look like they've got it all together. And that's the ones that need Jesus. That's when we can lean on him. You know, and Paul learned whether he was prosperous or whether he was poor, or whether it was good or whether it was bad. He learned to be content in all of these situations. We're living in a prosperous time. You know, the devil's got a 1-2 punch. You know, if he can beat us up and he can threaten us and he can take everything away, and that usually winds up drawing people closer to the Lord. But then he comes along and he just starts giving us everything we want. And our hearts grow cold, and pretty soon we're... And so that's his 1-2 punch. The first time he might try to knock us down. The next one he just tries to give us flowers or something. But they're both just as deadly if we give up. It's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. And I was just reminded of a little song that we used to sing, tell about. It says, run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get back up, because I didn't come here to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to. Run if you will. But I came here to stay. Like I said, we can base that on just being hard-headed. I'm just going to... Or we can base that on principles of the character of God. And we can try to follow those principles. We can try to live those out. With real character. And that's what the glorious thing here, you know. Like I said... These Pharisees, they had it all together. They were the religious people. They knew the Bible. And they looked just like Jesus' bunch. They acted, you know, overall religiously just like Jesus' bunch. But there was a world of difference. They were critical of every little thing that came along. Here he didn't quite meet up to the standard. So boy, their knives come out at him. You know, one thing, Jesus put up with almost everything. But boy, when the Pharisees came out with their attitude, looking right, that got his dander up. You know, we're a little afraid of being angry because we want to be calm and nice and peaceful, but Jesus got upset. And if you learn how he and who with who he got upset, you know, you can see there's a whole difference. It's just, there's a big difference between someone just being a hard-headed religious person and someone that's acting on real character and principles. It's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Then Jesus said, but go and learn what this means. Here's some instructions. Jesus, real plain here. Go and learn what this means. In other words, we have an opportunity. They did, we do. Have an opportunity to actually learn something here. You know, like I said, the difference between standing and principles. We stand on what Jesus taught. You know, we believe that women ought to dress modestly, cover their heads. We believe that we ought to be non-resistant. We believe that when you get married, it's until death do you part. We believe that. And we can stand on those principles. Do you know, that doesn't make us the judge, or that doesn't make us the one that determines, you know, what if there's someone out there that might not have learned some of these things yet, but their heart is to follow the Lord. I don't know. You know, I've heard of people that were divorced and remarried and good people. And then later on, their partner dies. Does that mean, bang, oh, they won the lottery? You know, I don't know all of those things. And I don't have to. We can follow the character and the principle of these things and not get just so hard-headed that we have to put everything in order all the time. Have everything just lined up, you know, like that. We can stand and follow these principles. But if we don't learn them with the character and the heart of God, they're useless to us. They become a weight around our neck that will drown us. But go and learn what this means. It said, I desire compassion or mercy and not sacrifice. I don't know how many. There's several times in the Old Testament that God told about those things. In Hosea, he said, put away your sacrifices. I want mercy. All these things mean nothing to me. I want mercy. You know, that's something that we can learn. Because we can become more like God in these principles. You know, I don't know how many times it's just amazing how we can create monsters out of people that we, you know, have had a little disagreement with or had problems with. And I don't know, you know, like I said, sometimes I see someone that I haven't seen in a while, and I've kind of had the idea that I didn't like them very much. And then you just meet them and say friendly and say hi, you know, and it's just, there's no animosity there. There's nothing there. It's just, I can be friendly. And it's refreshing. It's relieving, because a lot of all of that was just in my mind, you know. There's people that are going to do us wrong every time we see them. They're going to follow their same religious pattern and their same character. But you know, what builds up in me, I can control that. I can't control all of those other things. But I can control what builds up in me. I don't know how many times we've seen people that held grudges and been angry all their life, and the other person they were mad at didn't even know it anymore. Forgotten all about it. And we've just carried that. And that's what God is trying to set us free from. That's what He's trying to teach us. To be like God. I mean, God's not up there vengefully planning revenge on people. He's not up there fretting about what somebody did to him or what somebody said about him or somebody, anything, how he was represented, because he's God. And he's full of mercy, full of love. And those things are not tormenting his mind like they do us. And that's what he wants to set us free from. That's what he wants us to learn. Yeah, we want to stand. We want to stand for these principles. Because they too are full of character. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You know, this patience we talked about, that's another thing that God is full of. Time doesn't mean anything to Him. He's just full of patience. And these are characters that we can learn. The being still, you know, we sang about the song about He was in the bottom of the boat, sleeping during a terrible storm, and everyone was fretting about it. But you know, God is resting during all those storms. To be God-like is to learn to rest during those things. It's a godly thing to be patient. Not just biding my time, wait until the top clicks and get through it. You know, well, I made it. But to have peace and to have rest. That's God. You want a picture of God? He's not fretting. He's not worried. He's at rest. He's at peace. That's his character. That's who he is. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. You know, he came to call those that are sick because they'd have an ear to hear him. Having patience and having mercy. You know, it's easy to think, well, if somebody does me wrong, I'll be patient to them. I'll be merciful. But then, what if the person I would be merciful to and patient to isn't patient with me? They're always critical. They're always something, there's always a problem. Every time you talk to them, they're criticizing you. See, the patience and mercy works both ways. You know, we think, well, I can be patient and merciful to everybody else, but this one person, they're not patient with me. That's the very place where you need to work. You know, we can criticize the one who's criticizing. We can preach about the one that's always up out there looking down their nose. But you know, in reality, it don't matter what they're doing. All God is concerned with at this very moment is your response to that. It don't matter how wrong they are, how hard they are, how harsh they are. All God cares about is your response right now. That is the only thing that you can do. You know, I've said it 1,000 times. The only thing in this life that you can control is your attitude. Do you try to be merciful and patient with other people? And then somebody's hard on you. You be merciful and patient with the person that's hard on you, because that's where the rubber hits the road. The other 90% of the wheel that's rolling around is just rolling through the air. What God's concerned about is that part of the tire that's hitting the pavement. That's our choice. And that's where it matters. Go and learn what this means. Go and learn what this means. If we would just devote our lives to learn what this means, I think we've come out pretty well. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall find mercy." And James talks about it, says, James chapter 2. I'm just going to read several verses here. Verse 5, it says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man." And the poor man here can be more than just somebody that's broke. It's a sick. It's the one that needs the physician. Is it not the rich man who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? Okay, here's this same people. This man that's got it all in order, dragging you through the court. Do they not blaspheme the name by whom you're called? That's not reflecting the character of God, is what he's saying. It's blasphemy. Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you've been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. You know, there again, we can follow that principle a long ways, but then when it comes right down to it, just be as hard-headed following it. You know, we can say it, but then where the rubber hits the road is where it has meaning. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality and are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors, for whosoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point is guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not commit murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you've become a transgressor of the law. So speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. Speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. Like I said, the challenge here is to live by this law and still maintain the principles in your own heart. To obey is rather than sacrifice. We still obey God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The challenge is to keep those because you love God with character and principles and still be able to be so merciful that it doesn't mess up your character. And I think that's what people are afraid of a lot of times. They're afraid that if they know somebody or they're friends with somebody that's a sick person, then that'll taint their character. And so they got to maintain those principles. That's not standing for anything. That's just being hard-headed. Being able to stand is to be able to maintain those principles without judging other people who aren't, lifting yourself up. To maintain those principles when maybe nobody else is. Maybe even people that say they do are not doing right to you. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. That should be one of the most fearful verses in the Bible to us who know better, who have understood what the Bible says, who've been trained, who've been taught. For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. We don't hardly even understand what, you know, we hear examples of someone who has no mercy. They're cruel. But judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Then it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. You know, sacrifice is, oh, we'll be willing to suffer for the Lord if we'll just go. He would rather have mercy than for you to create something that you think you're sacrificing for Him. creating our own cross as a sacrifice. And what he wants is for you to be merciful, to be like him. May the Lord add his blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? The Lord.
Thanks for the talk there at the end. Sometimes we look hard for my sacrifice and not for me anyway. Often I'm just holding them, I'm good enough. I'm not, you know, we're not being persecuted like many of the brothers in history have been.
All right, well, Lord bless you. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock. Depart in peace.